Hello, this is Carlo 1 from the Dungeon Master Friendly Initiative, or DMFI. You're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Someone give me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hi, I'm Michelle, a.k.a. Lisa.
I'm Dave, Eat the Surf.
How you doing tonight, Dave?
I'm hanging in there.
Dave's picking on me, by the way, so...
No.
Tell him
no.
Off in the comments.
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome to episode 51 of Neverwinter Nights podcast.
And we're this supposed episode,
to we're supposed to have some benign babble and, you know, host one personal style, or absolutely nothing.
So what are you going to give us there? Some babble or nothing?
Oh, I have some babbling actually.
Okay.
I had the great opportunity to play Lady Elvenstar's alpha test her Time to Die module today.
Ooh.
And so far, I am digging it. This thing is going to be fantastic. I'm not going to tell anybody anything. I'm just going to say, if you've been looking forward to playing this, you haven't wasted your time. And when it's done, it's going to be worth all the time that's just taken to make it.
Totally cool. I was just searching YouTube with Neverwinter Nights 2, and I saw that there's a trailer out for that, but I didn't click it yet. So
yes, you did do a trailer for it. It's pretty good.
Cool. Well, we should link that to our show notes.
That's a good idea.
There we go.
Okay. So what's going on in the world?
Well, in this episode, you want to hear that?
Sure.
In this episode, we talked to Carlos One of DMFI fame and Skunkeen, Neverwinter Night Connections current DM of the year, about that So You Want to Be a DM event that we sponsored a while back.
I'd rather be a millionaire.
Yeah, but you're not going to be, so you might as well be a DM.
Yeah, this is true. Oh, and QSW has stepped down from her role as the Neverwinter Night's Vault site manager, and I remember seeing her post everywhere, and apparently she left for some personal reasons, so we bid you a fond farewell. However,
well, I guess that means we should give a big podcast welcome to Beyond the Pale as the new site manager, and I think we have a link to his background and show notes in the show notes.
Yes, we do. He's made a few changes on the vault also. He's changed how the sickies are presented. They are in a nice, tight, little clean box with a little bit of a lighter background, so they're more obvious, and they just come out at you and says, oh, okay, here's the new news. But he's doing some changes, and so far they look good.
The new news?
Yeah, the new news.
New news. This is the new news.
There's new news, and there's old news, and there's, well, somewhere in the middle news.
It's new news sounds like something that Johnny's going to make for the monster
hey.
The community.
That's pretty exciting stuff.
I'd like to see a new news, please.
I'd like to mention Kalia, the interview with Ossian on Warcry. She conducted a written interview with the Ossian Studios. Alan Miranda, which is the producer and co-lead designer on Mysteries of Westgate, in addition to being the studio CEO, and we will have a link to that. I did read it a couple of days ago. It was a really good written interview.
Yeah, I actually, when I saw that you were working that into the show notes, I took a look at it, and it's a good interview. It was one of those send off the questions, get them sent back, so we don't get to hear someone like your voice doing it, but it's really good information.
Something like my voice. Oh, my gosh.
That's why everyone tunes into us. That's why you're working every day for the from here till eternity.
Yeah, they need someone to make fun of.
Yeah. Sure, that's why you're here. By the time you're listening to this, the poll to elect the next monster to challenge Johnny Ree should be finished. And we'll link to that in the show notes. As of this taping, I think what, the gelatinous cube is neck and neck with
At this moment, the Driders are ahead by a few, but the Minotaurs are creeping up pretty quick also. So
yeah,
it's kind
my
of
Hydra,
like an eBay auction, you know?
My Hydra has no chance. So.
Well, either does my Owlbear. I'm going to pout. And his Beholder, which was just released a couple of weeks ago, is at 61 votes at a perfect 10.
Yeah, that thing's killer.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I don't want to brag too much because a lot of people know that he's my real life boyfriend. So,
yeah, there you go, bragging.
Now everybody knows. Well, anybody who listens, wait. Anyway.
Well, and now there goes half our audience. Oh, when I was poking around on YouTube, I typed in Mac in Neverwinter Nights 2, and I found out that Gold is going to be released with a Mac version. And I also saw that someone's got Mask of the Betrayer running on a Mac. So everybody's wondering how he's doing it. And I would like to say, if you're out there and you want to show us how you did it, and if it's legal, feel free to use our forums to tell people.
Doesn't Mac have a new computer out that you can do a Windows format where you can play things that are Windows compatible?
So, moving on, since I know nothing about it.
It's time for the interview. Tell us about the interview.
Oh, yeah, Trey and I talked to Carlos One and Skunkeen after the DM event that the podcast sponsored, that they ran over on the connections, and it was really fun. They were still amped from having done it, and I guess fun was had by all, and the interview was really good. Should be something for everyone in it. So, without further ado,
on March 21st, Carlos One of the DMFI Dungeon Master Friendly Initiative and Skunkeen Grand Hall of Fame Dungeon Master held a So You Wish to Be a Dungeon Master event. They took participants through an event created by Carlos One. As the participants died, they got to get a DM password, and then they got to watch behind the scenes as the Dungeon Masters mastered the rest of the event. Afterwards, the would-be Dungeon Masters or players got to ask questions. And so, welcome to the show, Carlos and Skunkeen.
Thanks, guys. Really happy to be here.
It's an honor.
Honor's all ours. I wish I could have been in that. It was, you know, the timing wasn't right for me, but I was stoked to see it happening.
Yeah, well, you make it sound so inviting. You know, as soon as people die, they get to use the DM clients.
Okay, so why don't you actually? Yeah, I wrote that from some what I saw posted out on the Bilesworth thread. So,
no, it's accurate. It's accurate. I actually was looking at it and going, if I was in that event, it's like, would I play in a manner that you'd have to kill me so I could get behind the scenes, or would I try to not be killed? I wasn't sure which I'd do.
So why don't y'all tell us what the event was about and kind of a summary of what took place.
Skunkeen had the idea of running my Desperate Measures module, which is available for download in Neverwinter Vault, as a DMFI event. The idea being taking us two as Dungeon Masters, several people as players, run them through the module, which is different every time. The Dungeon Masters customize it for all the different PCs. And then afterwards have kind of a round table skull session chat about DMing, DMFI tools, and just stuff in general. I think it worked out really well. I had a blast, and so did the players, and only one died during the session, just for the record.
Okay. Sorry about that. I guess I made it sound kind of dreary, didn't I?
No, actually, I read the same thing on the Neverwinter Connections, and I mean, it sounded cool.
Yeah.
It sounded great.
Yeah, it's a tough scenario. It places the players on a death row prison. They have 2 days before they're all going to be executed, and then it runs them through a variety of things that happen during the jail scene. So it's one of those things where if people are stupid or just kind of go off the deep end, everybody can die real quick. But the point being, it's like, okay, it doesn't necessarily have to end there. You can come back as a DM and, you know, not have your time be wasted. In the events, I mean, they all played really smart, I thought. The one person who died was actually bluffed out by one of the other players, so it wasn't entirely their own fault. And then afterwards, we had a really good session with the DM client with everybody participating. So, I mean, it was a real blast for all.
Cool. Sounds very interesting. So did it go as planned? How many people showed up?
It was good. We had four in total. Sun King, you want to go ahead?
Oh, I could swear it was five. We had like one dropout that didn't show up.
Right.
Oh, that death was quite pleasurable to me, being a sadistic DM. But the adventure has so many openings and quite different possibilities. And I've been reading through a lot of the other DMFM modules that quite a lot of the other ones are quite capable of doing that too, like Desperate Measures is.
Yeah, there's a certification process. Is that, I know the community kind of ebbs and flows. How's that going? Any new stuff for Neverwinter Nights ever showing up now?
Actually, for the original Neverwinter Nights, not so much. I mean, there's already a kind of big body of DM-friendly modules out there, so you don't have a whole lot of people creating new ones. A lot of people are still running some of the old ones, and you still have a lot of people running their own custom-built campaigns, which is not all that hard to do in Neverwinter Nights if you're familiar with the toolset.
Definitely, that's what I am. Actually, I kind of released my first, it wasn't even a mod, just kind of a soundstage, so I could DM on it, thanks to your DMFI, Wanna Be a Dungeon Master 101, which was awesome.
Oh, good.
Thank you very much. And, of course, I printed out, like, the 100 pages of how to use the tool set and always have that near hand to figure out what I can type in to make my guy bow or something.
No, it's great. I mean, there's a lot out there that isn't necessarily DMFI certified that's still very good. What we tried to do with the certification process is make sure that if you want to take something off the shelf, you know what you're getting. You're getting something that's well documented. You're getting something people have run through before. It's not going to blow up in your face. But there's a lot of other stuff out there that people have done that's also very good.
Is there something specific that people like need to take out to get it certified, or a mistake that they always make, or does anything not get certified?
Actually, I'm trying to think. Not for a long time. And what happens is when people submit their module to be certified, we'll work with the author if the documentation could use some work, some additions, that sort of thing, or if we run across any problems in game. So it's more of a collegial process than it is kind of a testing process. So the idea being to get another module out there for people to play.
Sure, sure. Excellent. I appreciate that too. I'm trying not to sound, oh, we're not worthy, you know. Here.
Awesome. So of the players that showed up for the event, were most of them new to dungeon mastering, or was there a mixture? So I guess were there newbies and then experienced ones as well that participated?
I believe there was just one experienced dungeon master there with us, and he ended up asking us some questions even, and he was like, oh, that's one thing I didn't know of. We were talking about the destruction widget wand, and I showed him a quick way to end up doing that with the Y key by moving it over a placeable, and pressing the Y key will destroy objects sometimes. But it's
any placeable that's not static, or?
Uh-huh, any placeable, and some static placeables, I believe it does it on also. Just move your mouse over it and press the Y key, and he's like, oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, that's what's great about that whole deal is there's always something new to find, and, I mean, probably you two are probably some of the only ones that know everything in there. It's just such a huge tool, you know, it's a game in itself.
There's plenty other grand dungeon masters from Neverwinter Connections that know a lot of these tips and tricks.
So that's a good segue. Speaking of tips and tricks, what were some of the tips that y'all gave out during the event? I know, Skunk, you had kind of sent me a list of some of those.
I see you mentioned here the voice wand. I remember trying to struggle to learn that, and I could get throw my voice and everything would work, and then all of a sudden I couldn't get it to work anymore and was totally baffled. And what do you think? What's the hardest thing for new DMs to figure out, do you think?
Probably, from my experience, I believe it's that voice wand.
Yeah, I agree. To be honest, I actually never use it myself in game. I always just possess the various NPCs with full powers and then jump between them in the same area. I mean, people have all sorts of different techniques, and whatever works for you best. People swear by the voice wand. You know, if I just prefer doing that.
Well, that's when I had it figured out and it was working. I had, you know, different character codes for the you know, four different NPCs I had going, and of course had a big conversation going with myself. And then all of a sudden, I know I probably clicked off of something somewhere, and all of a sudden everybody went mute, which is fun. I kind of worked that into the whole thing that and they all went mute.
But no, I mean, I think it's one of those things where, you know, with the DMFI stuff, it's extra tools for you. Everybody has different styles, and I think whatever you find works best for you is the best way to do it. Some people have the impression that there's only one way to do something in the DM client. There almost never is. It always depends on, you know, what's best for the situation, what's best for you.
I guess the more you get used to using it, the more ways, I mean, the more shortcuts you have to get what you need done.
Yeah, exactly. I guess it's the Neverwinter Connections Guide to Dungeon Mastering, which Lazy Bones put together a while back. It's a wonderful compendium of all these tips, tricks, techniques, that sort of thing. DMFI doesn't need to replicate that since that's already out there. But it's one of those things you can just leaf through some of the references and then, you know, kind of, especially when you start DMing yourself, you start seeing how you can work stuff into your own games. You know, it becomes a lot more alive once you get in game, because otherwise it's just kind of words on a page. You're not sure what's going on.
So is there any way that, I know that you were having this event trying to get more DMs. I have friends that have played and played, and I don't think they've ever clicked the DM client button. How do we get them to do that?
Yeah. It's intimidating. It really is. It's something that's completely new. There isn't anything else like it out there on the market. So it's not like you can transfer over your skills from one game to this, although there are some similarities. So I really suggest using the DMFI 101 mod. You know, that way people can download it. It literally walks you through everything, you know, from clicking on the DM client button to, you know, finishing off a module by yourself, and then gives you all the links there. Skunk Keen's stuff on YouTube is also very good for the people who are more kind of video hands-on. I don't know if we want to talk about that, Skunk.
That'd like just be all DMFI.
are you sure?
Yeah, I get my inspiration from the DMFI, and I was beyond honored to end up doing a game with Carlo One, because he's been quite the role model to me through my education becoming a Neverwinter Nights Dungeon Master. So just being here listening to him talk about the DMFI as much as possible is just astonishing. I've learned a lot from him.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I actually never would have done, you know, a DM for any other actual beings, maybe my wife or something, if I hadn't done the DM 101 and I actually got off in my buns and did it. But then I can't imagine how it is to work with multiple DMs. What's involved in that?
Trust.
Yeah, it's actually an interesting question, because, you know, I think first of all you have to have, like Skunking said, a certain amount of trust, a certain amount of faith in the other person, that they know what they're doing. You know, they're going to be mature about things. They're not going to screw it up. And I think that comes with playing with friends, first of all. I think if you go to a site like Neverwinter Connections, you can also see the history of people's reviews and scores and things like that, which is really invaluable. You kind of know if other people have had good experiences with someone. And then sometimes you just have to take the plunge, too. But, I mean, it's always good to have some sort of background in the community. I mean, Skunking's done a lot on his own, so, you know, I know he had a good reputation and, you know, seemed like a solid guy, and he was excellent in game, I have to say. I've run Desperate Measures probably 24 times myself. It was one of the few times I've co-DM'd it. You know, I thought it went very well. I thought he did all the NPCs, you know, extremely true to form. When you're in that kind of a situation, too, I mean, it's high pressure. You're in a jail, death row. Lots of nasty things can happen, and he did a very good job, and I was laughing out loud sometimes at some of the things he did with the guards and stuff.
What were some of the things that he did?
I don't want to give too much away, but I mean, one of the things that I'll just cite one example though. I mean, one of the things you almost have to do is have the guards taunt the players. I mean, the PCs send in their backgrounds so you have an idea of, you know, what they did to get in the jail, you know, whether they're guilty, whether they're innocent, that sort of thing. And you know, he started off the session with just some great insults. So, I mean, that's a good way to start when you're in a prison. It really sets the mood, and it's like, okay, the guards aren't here to play with you. They're really here to screw you if they can.
It really broke my heart to have the guards beat on Halloween Foxy that joined our I'm really not the Marquise de Sade that some will try to make me out to be, but it was a fun event.
Okay.
She enjoyed it, though. It's all right.
I'm not going there.
She was a role player.
I guess Skunk also said that one of the players was an admin of a server and that he asked y'all about banning players and how that works. So exactly how does that work?
And what could someone do to actually get banned?
Well, every other server has their own set of rules and guidelines, but with the DMFI tools, with one of the, I believe it's the flower one, that's real pretty, it has an option on it where you could end up getting a full report on a player, and if they're troublesome, if you're an admin of a server like he was, his DMs can do a full report on the player and get the last letters of the CD key and report it to the admin of the server. And then the admin could add it to the ban list of the server. So if a troublesome player's being too vulgar, that's mostly a common one, depending on what type of server you're at.
Right.
Cheating, really not much cheating going on anymore. I've never seen a cheater in ages.
So to something like that, you ever had to hit the pause button? That always, I hit pause when I was doing my DMing, I figured I'd just ruin the experience for everybody if I did that, but it was spinning out of control and I hit it. Do you ever hit pause?
I hit pause a lot. I don't know about Carlo.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things where, I mean, a lot of DMs have that exact impression. It's like, you know, if I use the pause button, it's going to screw up everybody's experience. You know, it's going to break the mood, that sort of thing. But it's really a technical thing. And it's one of the things where I think especially new DMs need to recognize that, I mean, the players are going to cut you a break. You know, they love being DMs. I mean, there's nothing more that they want in a Neverwinter Nights game than to be DM. So if you need to fix something technically or just get things together for a minute, you know, don't worry about it. They will understand, you know, everybody's, you know, on board with that. And then you can just go forward with it. And, you know, it's one of those things where the first time you experience it, it's a little weird. Then you just get used to it. It's just, I mean, people crash out. People do other things. You just go with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I applaud you if you can use the pause button and just get things back on track, because the players will appreciate that more than having the entire thing blow up in your face.
Well, then finally having played a DM'd adventure, I realize it's two totally different experiences. So if pause button comes in, I'm still in the world where, of course, as the DM, I'm paused because I'm frantically trying to fix something. And of course, they don't see behind the screen, you know, they don't see that I've totally lost it. They see the smooth thing pulling out in front of them, which is just amazing. It has two totally different experiences. Have you noticed that?
Well,
yeah, it's one of the... Go ahead, Skunky.
Well, even comparing the fluid play of Neverwinter Nights on Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2 to, like, even, you know, Dungeons and Dragons tabletop, you know, you got kind of a turn-based strategy to a point where, you know, just a little pause to think out some of the things that you want to do. That's one of the things that BioWare did with their Mass Effect game, you know, making massive use of the pause button feature. And that's even with Neverwinter Nights, it's a quite essential aspect to the game to have a good moment to pause to plan out some of the things that you're going to do. Comparing it to Dungeons and Dragons, where, you know, you got a turn-based system, and they're even going to do that with their virtual tabletop, but I think it's still, I like the more fluid play of Neverwinter Nights because it's more visually stunning, and the intensity that the game presents, even during the pause moment, you know, is more intense.
Well, that's what I didn't know as when I was DMing. I, of course, for me, the reality had halted. But then when I was playing and, you know, if it's paused, I'm still there and nothing's been ruined, which, you know, as a DM, I didn't get that. I was afraid that I'd screwed up.
No.
Yeah, well, the nice thing about the pause button is, too, it doesn't stop people from talking. I mean, people can go on having conversations in game and that sort of thing, so it doesn't have to be completely broken in terms of the flow either. I mean, if you have literally three things happening at once and you need to take care of it, you know, you hit the pause button, you know, take care of it in a minute and keep going, and, you know, some people don't even notice because they're, you know, still talking about what's going on.
Yeah, that's what I had no clue about because, yeah, they were still role-playing and I don't think they even noticed, except I, out of character, apologized or something, which actually is probably a no-no. It's a break. Attention, I've screwed up.
Yes, deny. Don't admit it.
I've never seen a player get frustrated with a DM using the pause button. But over on PWs, I've seen, you know, a DM accidentally leave the pause button on for a long time and people think,
yeah, that's a bad one.
Did you do that? Oh.
The earth stood still.
Now, I also heard that you guys taught them how to clone NPCs, players, and DMs. So tell us a little bit about how that works and why you would use cloning.
Actually, Skunk, you want to take that?
Anyone?
I will. I like playing with that one. Much like you'll see a bit of aspects in that in my next adventure that I'm going to do for the podcast team here. And I could implement it into the storyline. Sometimes I do characters from the future and past or send it back. As you know, I got an adventure coming up with a time shift for you. Mm-hmm. And doing an exact clone of yourself. It's kind of disturbs me that you guys already know the spoiler of the story that you're still wanting to play, which is great. But the players end up going back in time having to stop themselves. Well, they end up seeing an actual replica of themselves moving through the areas. And sometimes if you end up wanting to have more NPCs that you've adjusted or set, you know, certain settings to, if you've adjusted the monsters or NPCs AC and all that, did a whole bunch of work with their inventory. It's a quick way to just make multiples of them instead of adjusting each one over and over.
Right. It's another example. Yeah, go ahead. It's another example of how you can do things in game with a DMFI wand set and you don't have to do it in the tool set itself. Because a lot of those things that DMFI wands do for you, otherwise you'd have to get out of the module, make the corrections in the tool set, come back in. The cloning wand is a real good example of that. I use it sometimes for dream sequences where people are seeing other members of the party do stuff or interacting with them. Obviously, you can't bring the other member in there to do it. So that's, I mean, Sun King gave a number of other examples. And it's also, when you have things like, I remember the old Baldur's Gate, where you had the mirrored opposition and things like that, you can do that all in-game. You don't have to script it out.
Ooh, cool. A dream sequence. That's a good idea. I like that.
So, hey.
Speaking of scripting everything out, that's what has always slowed me down is, well, actually, even in pen and paper, is you get in that thing of, oh, I have to have everything planned for. And, of course, you know you can't plan for everything. And either I go in with just a blank sound stage, which is probably not enough to not ever playing because I don't get it all done. How do you balance that out?
Actually, Desperate Measures, the game that we ran, is a really good example of a module that has, you know, both in that. It's really a soundstage. It's a really simple module build. It only has a couple of different areas. And most players only ever see three different ones, for example. But everything plays out on that stage. What I do beforehand is take the backgrounds of the players that they give me for their individual PCs, you know, why they're on death row, you know, who their friends are, who their enemies are, you know, that sort of thing. And then in the tool set, Al creates, and Skunk did this too for this one, you know, some different NPCs from the player's backgrounds, you know, who might come visit them in prison, who might come threaten them, taunt them, help them, you know, that sort of thing. But that's the extent of the special toolset modification. The rest is all done in game. When you plot out some of the events that might happen in the module, a visit, you know, the guards coming and taunting them, an interview with the warden, which you usually really don't want to have happen to you, but, you know, too bad. And then just kind of go with the flow. There's a lot of improvisation I've likened dungeon mastering in Neverwinter Nights and Neverwinter Nights 2 to kind of improvisational theater at some times, because you're given the scenario, you're given the characters, but then what happens is really up to everyone who's in game. I mean, there are some DMs who will railroad people through regardless. I really don't like that. You know, and something like Desperate Measures, it's really non-linear. I mean, things happen and you control the game to a certain extent, but player decisions are really what drive the game. So dungeon masters have to be really flexible, because if players do something unexpected and something bad happens that you weren't expecting, you need to compensate. Or if they're extra smart, you need to work with that too. You can't just, you know, throw them back in a cell for no reason.
Skunk, did you have an answer to that too? Or is that just ditto?
Yeah, ditto. I know I have a shared experience with both of y'all at our recent event at Anacolia that pretty much went that way. You know, we couldn't send y'all back up to the Hammerhead spell jamming ship.
Yeah, I have some questions about that when we all get together and talk about that.
I was going to say.
We won't go into those right now. So,
which was great, by the way. I mean,
yes, it was.
Thanks.
Are there any more DM tools from DMFI coming out anytime soon?
Actually, there are. One of our design team members is working on a rewrite for the Wands and Widgets package for the original Neverwinter Nights for patch 1.6.9, because when you have that come out, of course it's already out in beta, all of a sudden you can now intercept the chat event and do things based on that. You don't have to have the listeners and that sort of thing. That's been a problem with the voice, for example, and some other things. You always have to have an NPC listening. You know,
right,
whereas
right,
with 1.6.9, you don't need that anymore. So that's possible. I mean, we're not going to institute a whole lot of new features, but I think it would really streamline the way the code works, and I think help the package in general. The other thing that we're looking at doing is coming out with some new things for Neverwinter Nights 2, which has been delayed for a bit, but we're really looking to get the DM101 mod for that out by the end of May, which I think would be great. We're looking to bundle a kind of starter adventure module with that, so that people will have something ready-made at hand that they can go play with their friends, play on Neverwinter Connections, you know, do whatever. So that's what I'm focusing on currently. Also, our design team lead, Kirch, QKRH, he's coming out with a new version of the NWN2 tools for patch 1.12 in the near future. He's starting to work on that. So there's a lot going on.
Excellent. Just so you know, I was talking to Barry Ebersole the other night, who I guess helps run the CEP team.
Ah, yes.
And he said that we could go ahead and announce that the 1.69 patch will be coming out very soon.
Awesome. That means CEP, you know, 2 plus whatever they've got now is going to be coming out soon, too.
Yeah, right. He mentioned something about that on his on the server of, I can't never pronounce it, Anna what?
Anacolia.
Anacolia, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He told me that CEP is ready.
Right.
That's interesting, that whole intercepting of the chat, too. That's, I mean, sparks a whole new realm of things you can do.
Yeah, now, you can actually do that now if you use the NWNNX plugin, but then you have to set up a SQL database and do some other things with your server. So it's not completely user-friendly. You have to have some skills and implement the whole thing server-side. With 1.69, that's all of a sudden eliminated, so everybody can use it.
So how do we get people to use it? I actually have a friend that, not just to be a DM, but this person hasn't tried a DM'd game because they think, well, I don't know if they're scared that they don't play right. Actually, I think he's afraid that he doesn't go linearly through a game. He likes to check everything out, and I'm trying to say, well, that's exactly why you want to play a game. But
right.
how do you get them to understand that?
Best end up going with another dungeon master, and the best way to meet other dungeon masters is definitely through Neverwinter Connections, unless you end up wanting to do a bunch of reading on your own. With as far as the tools go, but hooking up with another dungeon master to co-DM with or willing to teach you what they know is probably the best experience that many agree on.
Right, and if you're just looking to play too, I think it really helps break the ice if you do just a straight multiplayer game, no DM. If you want to just hop right into DMing, that's great. I mean, there's no reason not to. But I think some people kind of forget about the fact there are a lot of really good, just straight multiplayer modules out there. You can take 1, 2, 3, 4 friends through, or you can set up your own game on Neverwinter Connections and just see who wants to play. I've been doing that recently with a series of NWN2 modules, and it's been a lot of fun. I mean, it's not quite the same experience as with the DM, of course. DMs, I think, always make an adventure better. But, I mean, you can still have a lot of fun, and it helps break the ice in terms of feeling like you know what you're doing in-game and not screwing everything up.
Yes. I know. I think what makes it so cool is you can be sitting around, you know, wanting to go get into a game, and you have an idea of something that you want to role-play, you know, and you can just about jump onto any world that's out there and find somebody to role-play with. I think it's awesome.
No, I was saying, I mean, the persistent role community is a really big help in that respect, too. It really depends on what you want. PW, some are friendlier than others. You know, some not so much. Some actually up the intimidation factor. It really depends, I think, on, you know, how they bring new people in and that sort of thing. And the same thing with Neverwinter Connections. It can look a little intimidating at first, but it's really just a matching service. And if you post a game out there that you want to play with a couple other people, I mean, probably they will come and play and you'll have a great time.
Yep. If you build it, they will come.
Exactly.
The thing I couldn't get across is, and I don't know if you have the answer to this, of course, but there's this perception, at least this person had it, that DM'd adventures are just like, you know, wow, you know, it's so task-oriented, and I just don't know how to bring that across. And these people that don't have any pen and paper experience, and so they really have no concept that a DM isn't, you know, opposing them. It's creating this, you know, shared hallucination experience. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to pass that along, and I was hoping you had an answer to it.
Yeah. I mean, I really think the only cure for that is to get in a DM'd game that looks like it'd be interesting to you. Neverwinter Connections or a PW event that's posted or something like that. And that way you go in with a certain amount of expectation about what the event's going to be like. I mean, you have an idea of the situation, the plot, the scenario, all that. And then once you start doing it, especially if you have other players participating with you, I mean, you realize that it's fine. I mean, it's just like learning how to swim. I mean, if you never get in the pool, you're never going to get over the fact that, you know, the water might be a problem. And once you do it, it's okay.
And that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to do this event with the DMFM modules from the DMFI, is because they have all that documentation that anybody could Dungeon Master with a lot of these DMFM modules. You just easily read through them, and you know a lot of the plot lines, and you could add your own to them. And they're literally designed to quickly get you in game as a Dungeon Master. If you just go through Carlo's DM 101 module, you'll know everything you need to do. If there's a certain tool that the document recommends, which I haven't seen that yet in the ones that I've been reading, that the DMFM modules will quickly get anyone into game as a Dungeon Master.
That's what it's like. Wow, it's like the old days of Judges Guild, which I guess dates me a bit, but it's like this, and they're giving it away, all this, you know, documentation and stuff to read up on characters and all this stuff. It's like finding a gold mine.
Well, it is. That's one of the things that the DMFI, I believe, will be one of the things that will make Neverwinter Nights stand out a whole lot more than some of the other games that are coming out with a DM client. Because these things are free.
Yeah, relating to the 4th edition?
Oh, no.
Now, I believe that also the players that were on the event asked if you guys were going to join into a game as players and let them DM with you. So are y'all going to do that?
I am. I believe Carlos... his announced plans, which is pretty important. I'll let him answer for himself.
Yeah, no, I'd be happy to. If they schedule something and I can make it, you know, I'd love to. It's I DM mostly. I've been playing a fair amount lately on Neverwinter Connections with some of the straight multiplayer modules, but I mean, I haven't been in a DM game as a player for a while, and you know, it's always a real treat for me.
Yeah. So you announced earlier, Carlos, that you're actually working on the DM 101 module for Neverwhere Nights 2.
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that and maybe some of the challenges that you're going through or how that's going?
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. Essentially, it's the same idea as we did with DMFI 101 for the original Neverwinter Nights. I mean, walk someone through all of the procedures they need to open up the DM client, you know, start using the tools that are provided by Obsidian in this case, and then look at some of the common DMFI tools that are integrated that they'll need to do. I mean, the basic goal of the DM 101 module is to walk you from nothing, if you have nothing, to being able to run your own DM'd game of Neverwinter Nights 2 by the end of it. I mean, you're not going to know everything. You're not going to know all the tricks. You're not going to know all the tools, that sort of thing. But we'll give you all of the skills necessary to go out with some confidence and do that. And that's why we also want to include an adventure module that's separate this time in the download package, so people have something, you know, right at hand, you know, that they can go to and DM with their friends, DM on Neverwinter Connections, and, you know, get in the game. I mean, the module is not going to be, you know, the equivalent of Red Hand of Doom or any of the stuff that's out there on Neverwinter Vaults that's long and complicated, but it'll be exactly what's needed for a new DM, and it'll be replayable, it'll be interesting, you know, it'll be flexible. So that's the idea behind it, and I'm hoping to get that done, like I said, by the end of May.
End of May. Cool. So we'll be looking forward to that. Keep us informed on how that's going as it gets closer, and, you know, maybe send us some announcements every once in a while, and we'll make sure we get those on the shows.
I'll be happy to.
As we get towards the end of May.
Exactly. It's a little bit of a challenge in the sense that, you know, it's similar but not quite the same as the Neverwinter Nights Dungeon Master
right.
client. So you have to take into account, you can't just replicate the same thing that you did before. You have to
right.
go through and make sure everything works and then some of the new features and that sort of thing. I do have to say, though, that the DMFI tools for Neverwinter Nights 2, a number of people worked on directly. I just happened to run the DMFI, so I'll take that credit for it. But the scripters and builders who have worked on that have done an awesome job. It's just, that's astounding what you can do in-game with all of those tools. And I think it makes the NWN2 DM client perhaps even more powerful because of that. So, I mean, I'll just throw that out there, and that's something to take into consideration.
I can feel the earth shaking now. Those of us that took forever to get into Neverwinter Nights 2, you're like, because you can't beat Neverwinter Nights 1, but you're saying it's going to happen, huh?
I think so. I mean, I also want to see by the end of this year a critical mass of modules out there that can be run by a DM, and that people will be able to pick up a DM on Neverwinter Connections. There are a few out there right now for NWN2. There's more that are just straight multiplayer. Some of which are very good, I think. I'd like to see more DM-oriented modules, and that's something else that we're going to be encouraging.
Well, I'm building something actually right now, but as somebody that's, say, in the process of building a mod, what can they do right now to help it be more DM-friendly?
Okay. I'm glad you asked that. If you go to the DMFI website, it's dmfi.slightlysilly.com. I think you've got a link off your podcast website at some point, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's an article on building a DM-friendly module that we put up there that is equally applicable to both NWN and NWN2. It's kind of it looks at the design choices you have to make, some of the documentation that you need to include, and just how to think about it. I'm sure you've run across it when you've been building. You know, if you start wrong, you're going to have to go back and fix it from the beginning, and nobody wants to do that. But if you start off with the right idea, you can incorporate all these ideas, and it's not any harder. It really isn't. You just have to kind of know what you're looking for as you go through the process.
Excellent.
Cool. And thank you for doing this for the community and Skunk King for putting this together so that we could participate. This is excellent. I know there's a lot of people out there that really like what all is going on with these the DMFI and everything. Do you have any more of these events planned for the future?
I do. I'm going to be doing an upcoming event with DM Irk, going through some of the DMFM modules and being willing to stay on hand to show off the DMFI tools to players that are interested. And hopefully I could encourage a couple more DMs of the Neverwinter Connections community to aid me in that as well.
Okay, cool. Well, keep us informed of how those go. We'd love to hear how they go. Carlos, anything else you want to let the community know about before we sign off?
No, I mean, I think that I've covered the, you know, the waterfront here with the DMFI plans. We're still supporting Neverwinter Nights. We're looking to expand our Neverwinter Nights 2 coverage. I'm really glad to hear that, you know, you guys especially have benefited from DMFI 101 and some of the other things we put out there. It's community service. I mean, we can't do without volunteers, and we're really happy just to see, you know, people enjoy themselves more, which is the whole point of it. And, you know, thanks to you guys again for, you know, running the podcasts. I mean, I was back on episode 24, I think, last, so it's been a while. Mm-hmm. But, yep. You know, I've really enjoyed the whole process, and you guys are kind of an institution by now.
Is there anything the community can do to support DMFI?
I mean, actually, there is. From my point of view, DMFI really welcomes people's ideas, people's suggestions, people's observations. I've posted a couple forum threads, for example, on the DM101 module. You know, I'm happy to have people post ideas there, what they want to see there, suggestions for how the module would turn out, suggestions for the adventure module. We're also looking for a builder to do the adventure module separately, if possible. I mean, I'm happy to do both. But, you know, if I can focus on the tutorial module and somebody else does the adventure module, we can get it done that much faster and probably with a bit more polish, too.
Hear that, builders?
Well, thanks again, guys. Thanks, Charles.
Our pleasure. Thanks for hosting us.
And Skunk, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anytime. DC, thanks, Carlo.
Thank you, Skunk King. It was a blast.
Hopefully you can do it again someday.
That'll be good. I'll be around for a while.
All right. Same here.
And we're back. A couple of quick things I'd like to mention. There's an interesting conversation going on in last week's comments about piracy. Yeah, you did get into that, so maybe you'd like to talk about it a little bit.
Well, no, I actually, being one that only owns basically two modern games, one that has a one and one that has a two, but it always bugs me that honest people seem to be punished. So my wish is that it would be rewarded to have paid for the game and not, you know, not penalized, being that it's easier for a pirate to run a game than someone that pays for it.
Arr.
There's more hoops you got to jump through, but that seems to be, actually I put a couple links to a blog that I've followed for a while, and I know Jay mentioned how he likes Steam.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Steam's a lot better than it used to be.
Yeah, we have that.
Yeah, how do you like it?
I like it. I use it for Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines if I want to get it back out and play it again.
That's cool. So something should be, I guess I wish that, you know, I like everybody, I wish I could just install it and then forget about it and not have to worry that, you know, that, oh my gosh, I'm putting it on my other machine. No, I'm not trying to steal it. I've just bought a new machine.
That's no different than your Windows operating system.
Well, I shouldn't have to have Windows either.
I panic anytime I have to format, thinking, oh, they better not give me a hassle when I try to activate this key thing.
Nice, yeah.
I've actually had to call Windows and say, look, I had to format my computer. I had a nasty virus. It won't let me activate the key. Can I have your number, please? And I'm like, oh, wow, where's the disk?
So what it's like, you know what? I wouldn't need to call you if I kept my disks in safe places.
Well, actually, I had already put the disk up, I think, and I had to go back and dig it out and read off the numbers to her. And then this was not too long after my eye surgery, and I inverted numbers. And she goes, that is not a legal key code. And I was like, wait a minute, I know it's legal. I bought this.
Got 42 different numbers here and letters in groups of 5.
Yeah.
Surely I didn't mess up any of them.
So what do we have going on next week?
Next week we got, in episode 52, a post-game discussion about the Realms of Anacolia. That's an event we sponsored as well. And it's got something for DMs, players, and builders alike. So be sure and tune in.
So until next time.
Get in game.
And level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2008.
Insert interview here.
Oh, good lord. Do you still have tonsils?
Yes, I do.
I don't.
Does that mean I can do that easier?
I don't know. I have no idea. Guess I'm bored. For related.
Yes, what would you like to mention? Really?
Oh, gosh.
Well, that's good.
Let's turn that over.
No, you just fill in the spots in between me saying, really?
No, I am not working that hard.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I got it. Okay. And we're back. A couple of quick things I'd like to... Dave! So next time...
You're going to get rid of the bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Like I have a choice. Yeah, it's going to go in the bloopers.